Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Welcome to The Watchman. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everybody today. I want to begin with a brief scripture out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Declare ye in Judah and publish it in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket. The destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate, and your cities shall be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do every single day of the week. We blow the trumpet in the land. We sound the alarm. We do everything we can to raise our voice like a trumpet to declare the times that we are living in. If there was ever a reason and a divine purpose for the prophetic ministry, it was to declare to the people of God what time it is in the economy of God. And there are trumpets, there are ministries, there are ministers that are blowing the trumpet with every ounce of energy that they have from the Holy Spirit to awaken a nation and to help us sort through all of what's going on in our country today and around the world. Is another trumpeter, a voice all the way from Australia, one Daniel Seckham. And Daniel, we want to welcome you to the broadcast all the way from Australia. God bless you, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm very, very good, thank you. It's a rainy day here in Australia, would you believe it? We've had all these days of sunshine, and now it's the heavens have opened up, and we're dealing with an outpouring. So, yeah,
awesome.
So interesting weather down here in Australia, but we enjoy the change.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're with us. I want to put one question out there, and I want to turn you loose, okay? This is something that I've been just kind of mulling over in my spirit, and I'm thinking about so much that you have been sharing for the last year or so on these radio broadcasts. You have been educating the body of Christ about the cultural war, the political war, the social war, all of these different battles that are taking place over the soul of a nation right here in America and around the world, the push for communism, et cetera, et cetera. And I was thinking very deeply about the divisions within our nation and how a lot of people believe that Donald Trump's administration as the president is here to save America. But Daniel, what I'm thinking is that the presidency of Donald J. Trump has brought to light the fractures, the fault lines, if you will, that we find under the earth everywhere. The division within our nation is glaring at all of us. We're all here looking at it, and I'm wondering if this is not a sign to the body of Christ about the words of Jesus in Matthew 12 when he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I'm just wondering if God has not brought this administration to power to show the divisions that have always been there, but now they are brighter and clearer than ever before. And rather than thinking there's going to be a big kumbaya session on the Capitol steps again, and the left and the right are going to come together as big buddies with a hug like on 9/11, it's exactly what they did. They came together and everybody's saying kumbaya, we're one and all that. Well, that ended quickly. And so I'm thinking about all of these divisions and fractures, that things are ready to shake and the collapse is at hand. The administration is purposeful, intended by God, to bring to light the divisions, but it has also created a deeper division than we've ever seen. Can you speak into that today?
Yeah, I think, again, the election of Donald Trump in 2016 was a reprieve for America. It was God extending one last time, one last moment within the Republic to extend mercy and patience. And really, this is the time for the church to stand up and turn and to be salt and light. This is the chance, time for the church to actually be the voice of conscience to the state. This is the chance. God is giving America one last reprieve. And because the thing is that once the Democrats get in, and I don't mean to sound melodramatic when I say this, but when the Democrats get in office next time around, it'll be lights out. Every policy, every executive order that Donald Trump has written in, has authorized, will be turned around. Every single one of them will be reversed. Or, you know, you can kiss your low taxes goodbye as one example. You can, anything that Donald Trump has written into the law, the Democrats, out of their arrogance and their sheer contempt and hatred for Trump, they will turn around. You know, Trump is fighting for religious freedom at the moment, but you can count your bottom dollar that when the Democrats get in, they will come hard after Christians. They will go after not just Trump himself, but the people who voted for Trump. They want the deplorables, and they want to punish them. They want to exact punishment upon those who voted for Donald Trump. And this is the thing that people need to understand: the hatred that the left have for Donald Trump is not for him per se. It's for the people who voted for him, and this is why there is this growing cultural divide within the United States. The once united States of America will soon just be States of America, because the unity is fast dissipating. And Satan understands that. He understands the strategy. And it's an age-old strategy. Divide and conquer is as old as civilization itself. I mean, the divide and conquer. I mean, Jesus himself said, a house divided cannot stand. How do you destroy a house? Well, you divide the house. And once you divide the house cannot stand. Divide and conquer. This is exactly what Satan is doing. And it's not because conservatives have thrown fuel onto the fire and have caused this to be, and have helped to exacerbate this this division. That's not the case at all. The left have been moving in this direction. The left have been, I mean, they would call themselves progressive, which I think is one of the greatest ironies in the way that they describe themselves, which, by the way, goes all the way back to the 1950s. I mean, they started, the communists started to call themselves progressives back in the 1950s, and it's just continued on. But they call themselves progressive, but here's the thing, they are marching, they are falling headlong into a moral spiral, into a trajectory that is moving further and further away from God at an ever-increasing pace. And so it's not that the conservatives have added to this division. The left have pushed away from America's founding, America's values, founding values have moved away from them as quickly as they possibly can. And here's the thing. Trump has not caused this great cultural division. The cultural division is what caused Trump. People voted for Trump. The American people voted for Trump because of this cultural division. They hated political correctness. They were over it. They were sick and tired of identity politics, and so they voted for Trump as a way of a way of rebuking the establishment, this growing, insidious, stifling political correctness where speech is becoming more and more stifled by the day, and that people voted for Trump because they wanted to, that was a rejection of that cultural totalitarian culture that they're forcing upon us. And the American people, the hidden American man, the hidden American voter stood up and voted against that. It was a backlash against the left. However, how long was that going to hold out? I mean, that was fantastic that we saw that happen in 2016, but we saw just with the midterms, with the Democrats regaining the House, which is, it's worrying. We've got 2 years to ensure that the left are kept back, that the wolves are kept away from the door. Because if we slumber, if we don't stand up and speak up, then the West could be, the free world could be lost. And again, I'm not being melodramatic about that. I mean, this is, the stakes are incredibly high at the moment. And I think we, more than anything, we need to speak up, and we need to speak up as soon as possible. I just want to read to you that what Ronald Reagan said in regard to if we don't speak up. He said this: history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent it happening. My gosh. That really sends chills up my spine. It sends chills up my spine. You know, God bless Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Michael Brown is a hero in my eyes. I mean, he wrote a piece which I've actually posted on in the opinion section on Israel, Islam, and End Times, and also on Cultural War Resource. But Dr. Michael Brown penned an article in which he wrote, "Why Don't More Pastors Speak Out on Moral and Cultural Issues?" And if anyone's hearing this this broadcast, I would highly recommend that you go to IsraelIslamAndEndTimes.com or go to CulturalWarResource.com and check out what he wrote, because it's the absolute truth. I posted the article on my Facebook page, and it resonated with a lot of people. People are saying, you're absolutely right. The church is absolutely silent on these matters. The church is not speaking up. The church is forsaking its responsibility to be salt and light. And what is it to be salt and light? Well, salt prevents from falling into decay, and salt and light exposes. The church is reneging on its responsibility to expose, and it's reneging on its responsibility to prevent from falling into decay. And because the church is losing its voice, the world is losing its conscience. And this is where we are finding ourselves, and this is not going to go away until there's a mighty revival of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we cannot make America great again. We cannot MAGA until we MAMA. We cannot MAGA until we MAMA. What does M-A-M-A stand for? Make America moral again. America's got to return back to the cross. America has got to get back to its Christian roots. It's got to return back to Christ. Because if that doesn't happen, then America is finished. America is finished. Donald Trump is not the one. You cannot put your hope in any politician because they are going to leave you disillusioned. America will never become great again until it becomes moral again. And the left understand that the quickest way to destroy Christianity within America is to attack it morally. This is their strategy. This is why they're introducing sexual education. By the way, perverted sexual education to children as young as possible. They want to indoctrinate children into believing that sexual immorality is normal, natural, and healthy from the earliest age possible, because they understand it's the quickest way of routing Christianity out of America, and they understand that strategy too well. We need to stand up. Christians need to get up and speak out. We need to defend freedom. Freedom must be defended. And if I can borrow another quote from Ronald Reagan, he said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free.
Daniel, in the prophets again, Jeremiah cries out and he says, the destroyer of the Gentiles is on the way. Now, you know, I've been asking myself, am I stuck in some kind of a paradigm here? Because, you know, I listen to a lot of different conversations where people are prophesying and they're saying, you know, everything's going to turn around, and they criticize and ridicule anybody that's, you know, is not a yeah, let's win victory, you know. I happen to see every time I turn around in my personal walk with the Lord and I read the scriptures that there's been this line drawn, and that America has crossed that point of no return long ago, and it's never has returned back. And now everybody's saying it's going to return back to what it was. But I have a difficult time with that. I could be wrong. I mean, I could be absolutely wrong. I don't sense it. I don't feel it. I look at the word of God. God hasn't come to me and said, Vincent, you're wrong. I've heard people say that I'm wrong because I'm not believing the way that they're believing, but I keep hearing these, you know, these absolutes in the spirit. No, this get the people ready. The collapse is going to happen. Nothing's going to turn it away. America has crossed the point of no return. But what does that mean? For me, that's a very positive thing, that things are moving ahead and the kingdom of God will eventually come, which is our great desire. And yes, would like to see some beautiful things. I mean, every day is a gift from God. Every day we're living is a blessing that we could get in our cars. We could drive anywhere we want. We have liberty. We have freedom. I'm thankful for every good and wonderful thing. But the corruption is pretty deep right now. And I want to talk just for a little bit about the infiltration. If you could just name, Daniel, three things that have infiltrated our country, the United States of America, to undermine this nation's original intent or purpose or destiny. What are the three major forces of infiltration that have brought us to the position that we're in right now, from your perspective?
Well, from my perspective, we need to start it goes all the way back when they kicked out prayer out of schools. I mean, that might seem innocuous, but people need to understand the huge implications in regard to that. That was a huge win for the other side. Why? Because it was all about the education system. See, the left are very heavily invested in capturing the education system, because if they can capture the education system, they can capture the minds of America's future. They can capture America's future. And this is exactly where we stand today, because the left, the America's education institutions are absolutely infested with Marxist professors and teachers. You know, political commentator Dinesh D'Souza said there are more Marxists on the faculty of our elite colleges than there are in all of Russia and Eastern Europe. I mean, think about that. There are more Marxists in American colleges than there are in Russia and all of Eastern Europe. And he's absolutely correct. He's absolutely right. Not, and by the way, it's not just an American phenomenon. The same thing here in Australia. You know, another thing too, this poison is spreading all over the world. There's even a really beautiful Christian friend. She's I don't know how old she is, but she's from Africa. She went to a university in Africa and became an indoctrinated Marxist. So it's this poison is spreading all over the world, and so definitely the left is one of those big things. The other thing that is seeping in and is undermining America is definitely Islam. I mean, in Islam, it would not be possible. It would not be possible for Islam to take such great strides in America, which is the freest country on earth, if it wasn't for the left. So the left makes great progress to the freedom that Christianity has provided for it. And Islam makes great progress thanks to the freedom and liberality that the left has provided it. So it's an interesting principle when you kind of look at it that way. You know, and it's funny because I laugh at atheists like Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris complaining about how the left has such a stranglehold within our society now. Yet they were the very ones, these atheist apologists, these atheist evangelists, Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris. And of course, you can also include in that the late Christopher Hitchens as well. But these were the ones that were sabotaging, chopping the tree down from the roots, and the roots was Christianity. And by attacking Christianity, they invited this nihilism, this spirit of nihilism and relativism into the American psyche, where there is no moral absolute. There is no absolute authority that is outside of us that we need to be accountable to. And so it transferred from this this moral absolute that is outside of human opinion, this objective morality, and then it went to this inner voice on the inside of them. They are now listening to themselves, and this is why the left are so big on feelings and not on facts, because their feelings matter more than facts, because their God is themselves, and they don't care they no longer believe in a God that is all about objective truth, and that they need to be accountable to this God based on absolute authority. They now listen. They now worship themselves. They themselves have become God. And really, in essence, this is the whole spirit behind what Marxism truly is. Karl Marx himself said, "My object in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism." He knew that destroying capitalism and dethroning God went hand in hand. If you want to destroy capitalism, you have to dethrone God. If you want to dethrone God, you have to destroy capitalism. So he understood that God is their chief competition. The chief competition of the left is God. It's Christianity. And this is why this is a theological war. This is a theological war. You know, I want to read something really interesting to you that came out of an interview between Australia's former Deputy Prime Minister, John Anderson, and he was interviewing public intellectual Jordan Peterson. John Anderson asked him this question, and he said, "Perhaps that's why the left are so determined in this country to get Christianity out of the classroom." Now, you have to listen to what Jordan Peterson says in reply, because this is astonishing. And by the way, Jordan Peterson himself is not a Christian. He is what you would say is an agnostic. He's an agnostic. He's searching, and he defends Christianity a lot, even though that he's not a Christian himself. But this is what Jordan Peterson himself says. He says, "There's no doubt that's why they're determined." He says, "The West is logos-centric. Logos-centric. He's saying that the Western civilization is logos-centric. He says, if you want to take the West down, then you remove the idea of the divine word from the substructure of the society. You have to do that. This is the level at which this war is being fought. It's fundamentally a theological war. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is absolutely.
The fact that he can even identify that. He's not even a Christian, and he can see that the left primary target is to bring down Christianity. You know, in Austin, Texas, there is now a, let me have a look, I'll just, let me find it for you. I'll just see where, in a moment. In Austin, Texas, and think you're going to be absolutely blown away by this. There is now an ordinance in Austin, Texas, after it's, so basically there's a, the city ordinance is this, is that in Austin, churches must hire homosexual and transsexual pastors. So after Houston rejected similar measures 3 years ago, churches in Austin may be forced to hire homosexual and transgender pastors and ministers due to a city ordinance. Does that send chills down your spine?
That's almost hard to believe. You said it could be. So it's not something that is forced at the time, but is on the way?
It's on the way. Yeah, it's an ordinance. So it's something that is to be considered. So, you know, and this is really, really fascinating because I've always said that the attack against, they're always going to start with Christian organizations and parachurch organizations, not necessarily the church itself. They'll deal with the church later down the path. But where they start with is that they attack Christian schools. They attack, they want to attack Christian businesses. That's what they want to do. And it is a two-point strategy in the way that the left want to do that. So here's the first way that they go about do it. First of all, they introduce legislation to prevent Christian schools from hiring and firing homosexual teachers. So they're doing that here now in Australia, and I would imagine that this is something that is also going on in the US, definitely in Canada. This is already a law in Canada. But this is the first step. So they make it law. And by the way, there's such a double standard going on because anyone who is a part of a leftist organization that espouses conservative values is fired. They boot them out. You know, we saw this with James Damore in Google. He simply stated that there are obvious differences between men and women in an internal memo, and they fired him. Google fired him. Yet this is a different standard when it comes to the church. So the churches, here in Australia, they're trying to introduce legislation to prevent Christian schools from firing and hiring homosexual teachers. So this is where it starts. This is the first step. Okay. Now, what happens after that? Well, the second step is this. Introduce legislation to force Christian schools and other Christian organizations to hire homosexuals and transgenders on a quota-based system. And this is as we have seen with forced gender quotas in government departments. And we've also seen that there was also California, no surprises there. In Los Angeles, they said that their company boards had to have a 50-50 gender quota that with 50% men and 50% women. So this whole quota thing, they are going to force upon organizations everywhere, including churches. So churches have to be embrace this so-called diversity, this gender diversity, as well as sexual gender diversity. This is going to be forced onto the churches. Make no mistake, it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. So, and essentially, they are cultural totalitarians. They are cultural totalitarians because they themselves believe that they can be God. This is, you know, politics is their religion. And Christians are the pariahs. Christians are the pariahs. They are anathema to their doctrine, their leftist doctrine. So, of course, Christians are going to be targeted. And it's just a matter of time. You know, at the moment they are demonizing us, and the time will come when they will go from demonizing us to dehumanizing us. It's not a matter of if, again, it's a matter of when.
Well said, Daniel. So the prongs of communism, Islam, socialism, atheism, and the backing of the United Nations, Hollywood, all these different bases from which, you know, this infiltration really goes forth is what is at work. And the only way to save this is not politically. It's through a spiritual movement of God's kids who have a voice, the only voice that will ever give praise to God in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit is through you and I. The people that
yes.
have been born again, that love Jesus, we are his voice. And that voice must become a clarion voice, a clear call to the human race to tell them what's going on. And yet there are many Christians that still are unaware of what's happening. Daniel, I remember I was born in 1963 when I went to school. Unfortunately, by the time I went to school, there was no prayer in the public schools. But one thing we were called to do was to put our right hand over our heart and to say these words: I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. As a young boy growing up in the public schools of Jersey City, New Jersey, and then the different places I've lived, you know, that Pledge of Allegiance, it really meant something. You know, you kind of felt like you were connected to something. One nation, there's our sovereignty. Under God, God was in the center of it. To the Republic for which it stands. All of these things had meaning. And today, where is our allegiance? What are we pledging our allegiance to when our sovereignty is being eroded, our borders are at war right now with a globalist agenda? Speak into that.
Yeah, it's, you know, see, the left, because they have completely dethroned God and that they are utopian in what they believe. I mean, they would do anything it takes to bring about this utopian vision. I mean, for them to bring about this utopian vision, there is no lie that they would not tell, and there is no law that they would not break to help bring that utopian vision to come to reality. This is why at the heart of the left is lawlessness. It's lawlessness, because they will overlook and bypass any and every law to get to their utopian vision, even if it means to lie through their teeth, to break any law that is holding them back from that. You know, they would do anything that they can to get to that utopian vision. And this is why we are witnessing an unprecedented amount of voter fraud and all this corruption going on in regard that we saw happening with the midterms. Leftism is synonymous with lawlessness. It really is. It's because, and also too, see, once they, it all comes back to the fact that they believe that they are divine in themselves, that they are a deity within themselves, that they are gods within themselves. And this is why they become so unreasonable and totalitarian in their demand that you obey them or else, because they themselves see themselves as divine entities. And this is why they become so extremely intolerant and show no mercy when it comes to dealing out wrath. So you can actually see that the whole progression in regard to this, and you can actually see where all this is going to be leading. You know, if we don't have a revival, if we don't turn back to God, then the free world is going to be finished. The free world is going to be over. And Ronald Reagan was right. He says, if we lose our freedom here, there's no other place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. You know, I'd hate to disappoint you Americans, but if you go down, us Aussies aren't going to be able to come to your rescue. I mean, the Europeans were very, very fortunate, you know, when Hitler was almost basically going to conquer all of Europe, and the French were literally contemplating going to be speaking German. And who was it that came to their rescue? It was the United States of America. United States of America with the foundation built on Christianity, with the blazing torch of liberty and freedom. That was the nation that came to their rescue. And this is why there is such a fight for the enemy, for Satan, to focus and concentrate all his efforts on bringing down the United States. Now I've just actually recaptured my train of thought. So, yes, the left hate the laws. They hate the America's founding documents. They hate the Bill of Rights. The left absolutely detest the Declaration of Independence, and they hate the Constitution, and they hate every single amendment. They hate the First Amendment. Well, they hate the Second Amendment, the Third, the Fourth, the Fifth, and it goes and on and on and on. They hate the Constitution, and this is no surprise. This should come as no surprise, because John Adams, one of your founding fathers, said that our Constitution was created for a moral, he said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. He said it is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And so as America becomes more secular and they move further and further away from their moral foundation, and they become more irreligious and they become more immoral, the Constitution will become more and more and more irrelevant. It'll be they will be unequally yoked with this Constitution that is completely incompatible with them. And this is why they are calling for the removal of the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. Those are the two really big amendments that they want to change the most. Because if you remove those two, then America will fall into a socialist revolution, and freedom will be gone, and the free world will be lost. And this is why people need to stand up and they need to speak out as much as they possibly can. I just want to read to you something just in regard to what we talked about with what's happening in Austin, because it's extremely important. This is what Stephen, in regard to the ordinance in which will Austin churches must hire homosexual and transsexual pastors. So Stephen Hotz of the Conservative Republicans of Texas said this. He said, if Houston falls and Texas falls to the homosexual political movement on this issue, the country is gone. Now, you might know of this pastor. Houston pastor Dr. Ed Young said this. He said, this is a moral issue, and if the body of Christ does not vote and speak out, we are gone in the 21st century.
Yeah, Ed Young, he's on television everywhere. He's been around a long time. He's got a great ministry, as I understand it. Wow, that is huge. And again, we look back at time, and I think maybe Christians are out there right now saying, okay, I am a speaking spirit. I do have a voice, and I don't want to use my voice to bring my own ideas or my own concepts or my own this or my own that. My life is to be somewhat of a channel, if you will, for God's voice, or for me to voice God's thoughts, God's words, which are revealed in his book called the Bible. And, you know, the world may not like it at first, but there's going to be a witness in this earth. My voice is going to be heard. And the purpose of my voice being heard is trying to deliver people from the delusion that this new modern age wisdom has given, which I think is pure foolishness. That this modern wisdom, it doesn't even compare to the ancient wisdom of Scripture and the voice of God and the things that we have. So maybe it's time for Christians to wake up just to the reality of, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Mm-hmm. I think that one nation under God is a huge concept that we need to be confident in. We need to know that that was what we did as kids and children in our schools. And that is still being practiced today, as I understand it, to a large degree. But this globalist agenda keeps wanting to take it away, steal everything. So, Daniel, there are four fronts of battle that I see. There's a cultural battle, there's a social battle, there's a political battle, and a religious battle. If somebody was thinking, you know what, I want to get into the battle as an end-time warrior. I'm part of the end-time army of God, and I want to do exploits in the name of the Lord. I want to lay hands on the sick. I want to heal people. I want to do the works of Jesus. And, you know, I just want to move out into that. Well, talk a little bit about what is the cultural war going on in the West right now?
Well, the cultural war in the West right now, really, you know, again, Saul Alinsky, he wrote in his book, The 12 Rules for Radicals, his first rule for, and for those of you who don't know of Saul Alinsky is probably one of the greatest troublemakers for us conservatives that has ever been on the culture, involved in the culture war. So Saul Alinsky wrote a book called 12 Rules for Radicals. 12 Rules for Radicals. And this is basically the hand manual for the left in how to bring down the establishment and how to bring down conservative America, to bring down America. So the first rule that he says in his book is this, is power is not what you have, but what your enemy thinks that you have. And so, and here's the thing. See, there is a great con that has gone on. But the left have convinced people that they are the majority. And we are quickly approaching tipping point because for many of us conservatives, we have believed their lies. We have believed that there are more of them than there are of us. They have convinced us that it's not that the power is not just what they have, but it's the power that we think that they have. And this is why they are all about inflating their numbers, trying to, you know, you might remember that erroneous statistic that they said that 10% of Americans are homosexual, which of course was a lie. But they are all about inflating their number, inflating their statistics, trying to convince conservatives that they are in the majority, that they have the upper hand. But the reality is that they are a minority, but they have a disproportionate influence over the rest of us. And as the saying goes, it only takes a few barking dogs to control a large herd of sheep. And so people need to understand that the people that are doing this are a minority, but they are an extremely powerful minority. And if only the Americans and the church would wake up and realize that they are the majority. You know, I think of that scene in A Bug's Life. You know, as a with three small kids, I've been used to watching Pixar movies. But in that Pixar movie, A Bug's Life, you see how the grasshoppers had it over the ants for so long, and the ants were so intimidated. But the greatest strength that the ants have was the fact that they were in the majority, but they never could get themselves together. They were always constantly cowered and pushed and silenced and shut down and intimidated. But the time came when they had enough was enough. And you might remember the scene when the ants, they all locked arm in arm and they all joined together as one and they fought against the grasshoppers and they won the day. This is what we need to realize as well. We need to gather together. And it's not just the fact that they're in the majority. We also, the most important thing of all is the fact that we need to keep Christ at the center. Again, we cannot MAGA until we MAMA. We cannot make America great again until we make America moral again. We have to get back to America being morally righteous. What does Proverbs say? It says righteousness exalts a nation. If you want the nation to be exalted, then righteousness must prevail. And the second half of that verse is that sin is a reproach to any people. You know, in the Psalms it says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. America must come back to the cross of Christ. It must come back to the cross. It must come back. It must get into the spirit of being humble and in spirit of brokenness toward their fellow man. They must be able to have the attitude of washing one another's feet. you know, this is what has been lost, and only if this can be recovered is there any hope for your republic. And I pray with all my heart and with all my strength in all my endeavors and what God has, the calling that God has placed upon me to wake up the American people so that they will come back to Christ, that they will come back to the cross, and that they will repent and come back to him. You know, because this only way, this is the only way that it can be done. You know, the two people said two profound things that I want to say. And the first one is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and the other one is Alexis de Tocqueville. Both of them said extraordinary things, and I just want to kind of read to you the first thing. Well, first of all, I want to read to you what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. He said, "When I consider..." I'll just see if I can find it. He said this, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this. He said, "More than half a century ago, while I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of older people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that have befallen Russia." So he was a Soviet dissident. You know, he was sent to the gulags. You know, and he said this. He said, "Men have forgotten God. That is why all this has happened. Since then, I have spent well nigh 50 years working on the history of our revolution, and in the process, I have read hundreds of books, collected hundreds of personal testimonies, and have already contributed 8 volumes of my own toward the effort of clearing away the rubble left by that upheaval. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened." Wow. Now, the other person who I want to read is de Tocqueville. And de Tocqueville was a Frenchman who came to America to really, what he wanted to do was to study America's greatness and why they became so great, and why America became so great and became such a powerful nation. And the Frenchman wrote this in his diary. He said this. He said, "I sought for the key to the greatness and the genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields, in boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, and in her public school systems and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her democratic Congress and in her matchless constitution. But it was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." Wow. He said, "America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." You know, think about that scripture again in Proverbs. Righteousness exalts a nation. And de Tocqueville said, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness." So America has got to get back to righteousness in God, to become under God, to become united, a unified republic. This is what America has got to get back to, because if it doesn't, then this great nation will be lost. And we don't want that to happen. It will usher in an era of unprecedented suffering. And we need to fight against that. We need to speak up as much as we possibly can to prevent that from happening. So this is where we find ourselves. America cannot MAGA until it MAMAs. America, you cannot make America great again until you make America moral again. We've got to get back to the cross.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you mentioned the cross. You know, we've heard so much prosperity, and we thought, well, if we preach prosperity, righteousness will come. It doesn't work that way. It's preaching righteousness, and then whatever prosperity comes from that, God wants to give, he does. The reason why, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to this radio broadcast, Daniel Seckham, as you're talking, Daniel, I could see the intense need for your voice, your intelligence, your ministry that God has given to you to go forward into the earth, because time is short and you have a lot to say and a lot to share with people to contend in that field, that battlefield of culturalism. And Daniel, as I was reading, here's the importance of what you're talking about. You're talking about bringing an argument into the nations of the earth to win souls. That's the battle for souls right now. And you have to have a well-defined and articulated argument to go in and deliver people from the snare that's upon their mind with the truth. You have that. And here's why, Daniel, because in Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse 3, the latter part of verse 3, it simply says this, and all, and that's a big word right there, all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the only people on this earth that will not worship are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, and that's the tribulation against the saints of God. But Daniel, that passage tells me that the devil is doing everything in his power to get the masses of humanity to worship him. And it actually becomes a reality. And so if we're not out there winning souls, but with the voice and the gifting that God has given each one of us, this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And it looks like, because the voice of the church has been so effeminate, it is the doctrine has been so watered down, it's become prosperity, fattening, and all this stuff, that there's really not a sharp sword going through the nations to set the captives free. And so we're heading fast to Revelation 13. The whole world, in other words, there comes a point where the church loses its effectiveness to win these people, and they're all worshiping the dragon and the beast. I mean, how intense is that?
Yeah. Major concern. And of course, all this would never have happened if you cannot get people to follow after these dictators and leaders if it wasn't for the fact that there's been a massive dumbing down. There has been a huge dumbing down, and the enemy is all about ignorant, getting people to be ignorant, getting people to be to become fools. You know, one of the indictments that you read in Romans 1 is that they proclaimed to be wise, but they became fools. You know, and this is why the left is so big on lowering the age to vote. They want to get people to vote from as young as the age as possible. Because why? Because young people are ignorant. You know, that's no offense to any young people who are listening to this out there, but they don't have the wisdom that comes along with age. And this is why they don't. They want to lower the voting age as much as possible. And this is why Common Core plays a part in this as well. Common Core, you know, it basically takes away. It doesn't educate young people, especially in the laws of in understanding logic, processes of logic, and things like that. And this is why so many young people are all about emoting. They would rather emote rather than deal with facts, you know, because emotion, how they feel on the inside, trumps facts. This is why the transgender agenda is taking off so much right now, because it absolutely defies the most basic truth, the most basic common knowledge, you know. But it's all about feelings. Feelings are reigning supreme. You know, I think about that scripture in Judges where it says, in those days there was no king and everybody did as they saw fit. It's all about feelings. It's all about me, 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 me. It reminds me of the the narcissistic opera singer. Me, 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 me. You know, it's me, myself, and I. You know, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. And really, essentially, this is the spirit of self. You know, it's God, you run the universe, and I will run myself. Thank you very much. That's what it is. This is what is we are in the grip of at the moment. Because if God is not on the throne of a person's heart, then self becomes the God on their heart. And this is why people, when people realize that there's no such thing as objective truth, there's no such thing as truth that they can be accountable to, then why bother speaking out? Why bother speaking up? You know, you just want to basically say what you can say so you can remain part of the crowd. You don't want to be out of step with the crowd. You don't want to be out of step with society. So you just toe the line. You just say what you need to say, even if it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, even if it's absolutely ridiculous that Islam is a religion of men are men and women are women and there's only two genders, you know. So this is the society that we're living in at the moment. I mean, we have descended into madness. Western society is going mad. You know, other nations such as nations in Africa and nations in the East and in Asia are laughing at us. They are laughing at us, and they are saying that they have literally gone mad, and the West has gone mad. You know, and as the old saying goes, those whom the gods destroy, they first make mad. The Western civilization is on its last legs. You know, this is the mother of all prostitutes that once knew God. It once knew the truth, but then it turned its back on it and prostituted itself. This is the pagan nation out of all pagan nations rolled up into one. It is literally a Babylon the Great, the greatest Babylon of all Babylons, the summation of all pagan empires all rolled into one. This, you know, and this is the abominations of the earth. You know, and you know, Frank Zimak wrote a great piece in The Stream this week in regard to America exporting its immorality to the rest of the world, how America is exporting abortion and homosexuality and forcing it on all the other nations of the world. God help us. God help the West. You know, this is where we're at the moment. And it breaks my heart to see the fact that we are now, that Western civilization has run its course, that Western civilization is basically in its final days. And you can just see who will fill the vacuum once the West finally loses, the only things that are holding the West up right now are the last vestiges of Christianity. It's essentially two institutions that are holding up Western civilization right now, and that's the institution of the family and the institution of the church. The family and the church are the two final things that are holding back this global socialist one world government from coming into power. And those are those two institutions, and that's why these very two institutions are what are coming under massive attack. The left is attacking the institution of the family. It hates the patriarchy. It hates the fact the role of a husband and a wife raising their children. It always preaches the mantra that it takes a village to raise a child. You know, the left hates the institution of the church. Hates it emphatically, you know, and they will forever be at war with the church because it's its chief competition.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at the moment, and we desperately need a great revival. We need a revival. We need to come back to repentance. We have to be broken in our hearts before God. We need to understand that the greater the revival will depend on the level of our repentance.
Amen. Daniel, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I feel like we're just getting ready to start another conversation, which I know your heart is very passionate for. Unfortunately, we're down to 30 seconds left in our broadcast. History is repeating itself. We've seen this before in Israel. We've seen it in Rome. We are following the same pattern. We're not learning. We're bound to repeat it. The cup is full. We've been weighed in the balance. Revival is the one thing for the great end time army of God. Daniel Seckham, I've got to run. We'll talk again real soon. God bless you, my brother. Shalom.
Thank you, brother.